The word of the Lord says in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image. And I'm going to just give you what that means and those numbers mean. It was 90 feet high by 9 feet wide. And he set it in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 4 says, then a herald cried aloud to you. It is, somebody say commanded. Oh, people, notice this, people, nations, and languages. That at what time you hear the sound, and then he goes, the writer tells us all these instruments. I'm just going to skip through that and say, when you hear the sound of all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Notice verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Verse 12 says, there are certain, somebody say certain, certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Notice this. Verse 13 says, the king in his rage and fury commanded, somebody say commanded, to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, somebody say our God, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, somebody say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Verse 23 says, these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24 says, the king was astonished. He got up in haste and spake to the counselors, and he asked a question. Notice this, turn to your neighbor and said, he asked a question. Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25 says, and the king said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How many know that when the Lord gets involved, things get loosened up a little bit? He said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. I come to preach to you this morning, faith in the fire. Not faith from the fire, but faith in the fire. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. Come on. Faith in the fire. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, this Bible story, this lesson in our scripture text today, what we have read. Now, we have read this before. And in fact, how many of you have heard this story in Sunday school? Let me see your hands. Amen. And Sunday school. Thank the Lord for Sunday school. Amen. Thank the Lord for Sunday school. That wasn't good. That was. Thank the Lord for Sunday school. I know some parents are like, yeah, thank the Lord, because that's the only reason I come to church is the kids can go to class. I can get a breather all week long. I got them all around me. 45 minutes, they're not next to me. Give me some breather. Amen. But so I'm thankful today for, because I have heard and read this story. And so I'm assuming, because this is a Bible preaching and Bible reading and Bible teaching church, that you have been reading your Bibles. And Babylon, or the Babylonians, were a pagan nation. And they marched in, as we know from history and the Word of God. They marched in and came in and destroyed and conquered and desecrated Judah or Israel. And if you need translation, we do have translation. And so in Daniel chapter 1 and 1 says, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. Jerusalem, the king came into Jerusalem, and he destroyed it, and it took, and the Babylonians, specifically Nebuchadnezzar, took these Jewish captives, and they were, as a result, it was about 70 years of captivity and reign and distress for the people of God. And the king of Babylon, as we see and we read in chapter 1, he selected the very best of the best from the certain of the children of Israel. And we see in Daniel chapter 1 and 3, and the king spake, and that the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of his of the children of Israel. Somebody say certain. And these children, verse 4 says, who had no blemish but were well favored and skillful in wisdom. Now these were the people of God that were taken from their homes, and they were going to be taken as captives by the king. But the criteria for them was going to be that they had to be skillful and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and had the ability for them to so they could stand in the king's palace, that they may teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So it had to be young men that were capable of every had to be young men that were literate. They were accomplished academically, so that they could be put under the proper instruction of the Chaldeans. Now, in case you're wondering what the Chaldeans or who they were dominant in Babylon. This is what we're talking about. Babylon would be modern day Iraq, but the Chaldeans were astrologers. They were enchanters. They were not musicians. They were magicians. They were pagan. They involved themselves with what we would understand today as witchcraft. And they obviously were not godly. And verse 5 says that the king appointed these wonderful godly young men that were taken captive to live in the kingdom. He took them, and there were four of them, but I'm going to preach about three of them. But these young men, in verse 6, tells us that they were of the children of Judah. They were from the tribe of praise. They were from the area of praise, right? They were from Judah. Judah's praise. And we have Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. We understand in verse 7 that the Babylonians, the pagan, the captors took the people of God and gave them new names. And I want to just talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their names that were given to them by the Babylonians. Now let me just lay an anchor down here for a moment. Just because the world, and just because sin and society and the enemy of your salvation will try to restrict you and try to constrain you, try to hinder you and make things foreign unto you, doesn't mean that you're not in the will of God and that God's not with you. Come on, somebody. Things you don't have to be in a perfect scenario, in a perfect world, in a surrounded by all kinds of goodness and godly people to live for God. But you can live for God as we are learning in an ungodly world. And you can live for God even if you're the only Holy Ghost-filled college student in your class. You can live for God if you're the only one that dresses the way you dress in modesty and in holiness unto the Lord. You can live for God and let your light shine even when everyone else is doing things shady in the office, because you got faith in the fire. Hebrews 13 and 6 tells us the Lord is our helper. Right. We won't fear what man shall do unto us. And these young men found favor. They found favor in the midst of change. They found favor in the midst of adversity. They in the midst of unknown, these young men found favor because they took a stand and they had faith. They didn't succumb to the vices of the world. They didn't succumb to the temptations of the world. You notice this, that in Scripture, Daniel 1 and 7, it says, and God gave them knowledge. And Daniel 1 and 17, and says, and skill in all learning and wisdom. And even Daniel received a special anointing because the Lord imparted him to be able to see visions and dreams, not just to interpret dreams, but he could tell you what dream you had and then give you the interpretation of that dream. And when the king began to have dialogue and begin to interact with these godly men, he began to understand and know that the hand of God was upon them because they were different. The king said that in verse 19 that there was none found like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in verse 20 it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Can I just tell somebody here this morning that God will give you favor in the midst of situations when people are cutting corners and people are bowing down and people are sleeping with the boss and people are cheating on their time card and people aren't paying their taxes, paying their tithes. The Lord will still give you favor. When you're passed up for a promotion, the Lord will open up another door and say, nah, I got something better for you that I'm cooking over here. I'm about to close this down over here, but I'm proving you over here. It may be a lateral position, but you're about to step up. It's like the songwriter wrote a long time ago, can't touch this. You can't touch what God has blessed, because the Lord will make it better and bigger and more blessed than everybody else could imagine, because we serve a God that is great and greatly to be praised. They were tested. Somebody say they were tested. But Daniel and his friends purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves, the scripture says. It would not defile. The Bible says, defile not. Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're not to defile ourselves. They wouldn't eat the food that they were told to eat because they had a spiritual conviction. They had an understanding that they weren't going to defile themselves with some of the things that the king or the kingdom of the world wanted them to impart. So that was the first thing. It says even says that Daniel purposed in his heart. Can I just break this down to somebody here this morning that certain things are not permissible for a child of God. And we have seen people that they used to talk a good talk, but, and they may have spiritually had it looking good on the outside. It may look like it was all together, but somewhere along the road, they left the back door open and they snuck out to the back door with their relationship with the Lord. And they have not only compromised some of their spiritual relationships of separation of the world, but mentally and emotionally, they have attached themselves to the cares of this world and the pleasures for other things and the lust and the temptations that this world has to offer. Can I tell you, this story is a prime example of the godly living holy in an ungodly situation, even when the temptation was all around. They were faithful even when they were away from it all. Even when you're on vacation, you need to be faithful to God. I'm sure these brothers had temptations. Every day they were tempted. But notice, Nebuchadnezzar's golden image was was constructed as a form of idolatry, and it was meant to be worshipped. Notice what the scripture said, by people of all nations, races, and languages. In fact, it was such a so that in Daniel chapter 3 and 4, that the king even had a herald that would cry aloud. And it tells us that it said, you are commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that you are to bow down and to worship this gold, this image, and let's just call it what it is. It's an idol, and an idol is an image or other material objects representing a deity with which religious worship is addressed.
Yeah.
But the other definition of an idol is any person or thing regarded with blind admiration, adoration, or devotion. I would bring to you today in parentheses, as an idol is anything that you put before your relationship with the Lord. It's where you can scream so loud at a ball game, but come in church and sit on your hands and not open your mouth for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, somebody. You may or may not have a spirit of idolatry in you. If you'll worship a superstar, but you won't worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may have a lust for other things. If you can make excuses why you can't and why you won't pray, read your Bible, go to church, give in the offering, be a part of a ministry in the church, but you can't say no to everything that comes your way. Your boss wants this. Your neighbor wants this. Your family member wants this. And you say yes to that all the time, but everything that has to do with God or the church or your relationship, you say no, the devil is a liar. The commandment was given to society, to everyone living in Babylon. Verse 5 of Daniel chapter 3 says, when you hear the sound, fall down and worship the golden image. If you're taking notes this morning, let me remind you of something that the Bible has told us all from the very beginning. Exodus 20 and 3 tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You ought to highlight that in your Bible. No other gods. Exodus 20 and 4 tells us, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Verse 5 says, thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God. I will just pick on the guys today. Any of you guys know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that had a jealous girlfriend? Oh, that's the worst kind of relationship to be in. Why are you going out with the guys again for tacos? Because it's Tuesday and I'm hungry and they're $1.50 and I want to eat some tacos. Come on. I'll just stay in the book, stay in your notes. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Somebody say it gets better. 1 John 5 and 21 says, little children, keep yourself from idols. And then John just adds a little bit of extra there for us. He says, amen. I went to church this morning. When I read it, would say, amen. RT, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. When you hear the commandment of the songs, you got to bow and worship. Notice the word certain. Daniel 3 and 12. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang with me. There are certain Jews in Daniel 3 and 12 which thou hast set over the affairs of the providence. There are certain men, O king, that are here in Babylon. In fact, I know their name. They have not regarded thee, O king. Yeah. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image with which what you have set up. Just understand this, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've been talking about wisdoms of this world. This is a great example of some men of God that would not succumb to the wisdom of the world of their day. Even when there were certain, notice this in Daniel 3 and 8, when there, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came and accused the Jews. But these young men were of a different mindset. They weren't just talking about being holy and living holy. They were about to stand up for righteous living in an unrighteous world. They're a great reminder of what Paul tells us in Colossians 3 and 2, to set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There are always going to be certain people that will be despisers of good. We heard that on Wednesday night. There are always going to be certain people that will feel the need to sell you out, will feel the need to capture you when you're down. Certain people that will try to ostracize you. Certain people will try to accuse you, just like the devil does. He's the accuser of the brethren, certain people. But could I remind us today that the Lord knows about certain people. And in fact, he knows about all people. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15 and 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Come on, somebody. Proverbs 5 and 21 tells us, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. So we get to our scripture setting, the part of my message where we go from 0 to 122 verses. These young men were in an unknown place, in a new environment. Certain religious expectations were imposed on everybody. Oh, and by the way, let me reference something this morning. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, I want to point something out. This is a very powerful Bible verse. I believe we can go there. I believe that, myself included, we read this story and we skip over verse 5 and read it without understanding what it says. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the kings. They, for 3 years, this was a 3-year trial to be indoctrinated.
Yep.
3 years that they had to stand up every day. How many of you eat at least 3 times a day? Some 5, some 2, some all day. Praise God. All the all day eaters say amen. Amen. Right? Every day, all day, for 36 months, they would have to say no. Well, actually, it came down to 10 days where there was a testing. And the Lord gave them favor for most of those 3 years. You know that the Lord will give you favor when you stand for righteousness? That the people are supposed to be doing something, they just kind of look the other way and said, well, they're excused because, you know, they pray for me. We're only open because of them, because the Lord answers their prayers. Come on, somebody. Certain procedures and protocols, universal worship is what this golden image represented. That everybody just fall down and worship this image. And I'm sure that there were others that were not heeding to what was taking place, but we don't have that in Scripture today. We have about these 4 men, and specifically I'm talking about these 3 men that it was unique, but it didn't change who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. It didn't change their faith or their relationship with the Lord. In fact, we read right from chapter 1 where the Lord gave them favor right from the beginning, that the Lord said, hey, I got you in an unfamiliar territory and things are not looking the way they used to look, but can I tell you, I'm still with you. And they changed their name and they called them what they wanted to call them, and they moved them and they got them back into a corner. But these men were still going to serve God. They weren't going to bow down to the temptations of this world. It's like some of us today. It says, you know, I got a lot going on in my world, let alone the world of somebody else and the world that we live in. But there's some of you here today, you have not let that hinder your praise. You haven't let that hinder your relationship with God or your worship. In fact, I've watched so many of you get stronger as the fire around you got bigger and hotter. I've seen some of you when you were at your lowest moment, and I'd reach out to you, and I would feel in my spirit, they're going to be okay because they're praying. They're not just talking about praying. They're actually praying because you've got something in you. You got a faith in you that in the midst of the fire, you're not detaching yourself from church or God, God's word, the man of God, or the people of God, but you've stood flat-footed against all the wiles of the enemy. And you said, if God be for me, who can be against me? Who am I preaching? Who am I preaching to this morning? That you've got a fire all around you, and it's hot, and it's tempting, and it's closing in, but you got a faith in you. There's not a quit in you. I got faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live in the realm of a worshiper. Let's remember that we represent the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And we are those certain people. That have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. So don't bow and worship your job. And then come in here on Sunday and sit down. When the king, when the praises go up, the glory comes down. Don't sit, don't be at your job and listen to all the cussing and all the carousing and keep your mouth shut and not testify about the goodness of the Lord. If they can talk about sleeping with the boss, you can talk about being blessed by Jesus. Come on, somebody. I wish I had a witness. If they could talk about, hey, I didn't turn that paper in, I just kind of fudged the numbers. You could talk about the blessings of the Lord. He maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow. You do what you got to do, but I'm going to come over here because the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not good, to him it is sin. And I got to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm not going to bow down to sin or the temptation of this world. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we get to part where I want to make some points. You see, we've seen the first test of their faithfulness in chapter 1. But we get to chapter 3, our scripture text, and we know the story. Okay, we know that they didn't bow. They were not just accused. By their own admission, they said, no, it's true. You don't need to go hear from somebody else. It's true. I tell you to your face, King. They weren't disrespectful about it. But they clarified for the, in case anybody was wondering, they clarified. Nope. We're not going to serve nor worship the image that you have set up. Verse 12 says it. We're not going to serve thy gods nor worship the golden image. So if there's any other gods out there, you're going to bring up later? We're just going to sell it now. Not going to serve those gods, nor that image. And so at this point in time in our scripture text, is this okay this morning? Is this okay? At this point in time in our scripture setting, these men were obviously older. They were in position of affluence because God had given them favor. They were used to doors being opened to them. But not only was their livelihood at stake, but their life was at stake. Not just their finances, but it was their life. And all of this was coming down to one thing. Were they going to be faithful when faced with the fire? Because the king even gave them another opportunity to back out. And that's when they said, nope, no backing out. We are who we are.
Yeah.
I like what the Apostle Paul says. I am what I am.
Amen.
By the grace of God, aren't you thankful? You are who you are. Not who you used to be. Not who people think you should be. But you are who God has called you to be. Not perfect. You're still on the potter's wheel. Think about this. You may give your talents. You may give your expertise. You may give your blood, sweat, and tears to your education, your career. But nobody, we don't share our worship. We do not share our worship with anybody. We give our worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Doesn't matter how much money you make, how many followers you have, how influential you think you are, what your background is, what you look like, what the situation may look like. We don't share our worship or give our worship to anyone else except the King of Kings.
Amen.
We don't. Somebody say we don't.
We don't.
So let me get to my points here this morning. They're thrown into the fire. And as they're in the fire, the fire was, before they get in the fire was turned up 7 times hotter. And I'm not going to read every verse I've given them, but the fire was turned up 7 times hotter. The king was so mad that he had his mighty men grab these 3 brothers and threw them in the fire. And because the fire was so hot that the men that were called upon to throw these brothers in the fire was so hot that it caught them and engulfed them. And our brothers that we're reading about, they weren't thrown in just any old way, but they were bound, the scripture says. They were bound and they were in there fully clothed. It says that they were there with their hats and other garments, and the fire was hot. And I don't know about you, but we would like to wonder why God did not deliver them before the fire. Well, they had faith enough to go this far. That should have been enough. Anybody ever wonder that? But think about this. I'm not going to be much longer. Think about this. But it's the fire that reveals many times who we are. It's because of the fire you've realized that, oh, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's because of the fire that we know some things about us that we didn't know before. If God kept us from all the fire, some of you wouldn't be sitting here in church today. But you've been through some stuff. Come on, somebody. We talk about the protection of God. You know what protection is? It's when you have a life jacket and you're out in the middle of the ocean and the boat capsizes and you put that life jacket on and you know how to wear it and it fits. You put it on and you're protected from drowning. That's protection. Yeah. Protection is when something goes wrong or goes away you didn't think it was going to happen. Thank the Lord you've got insurance and you've got a seatbelt. You've got fire insurance. You've got medical insurance. That's protection. But you know what else is protection? When you're sick and you're about to lose your mind and you read in James chapter 5, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith. That's protection. When you're driving down the car, somebody is driving all crazy and swerving around and they get in your lane, you say in the name of Jesus and you prevent an accident. That's protection. You know what else is protection? When you're living right and you're doing right and the sound of the trumpet and the dead in Christ shall rise and we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air. That's protection. You know what protection is? It's when you live in a world of chaos and sin, but you got an altar and you can come and pray and leave your burdens at the Lord. You've got faith in the fire. Not everything we go through is about us. Sometimes you go through stuff for the glory of the Lord. Sometimes you go through stuff for the Lord to make a point. Remember Job? Sometimes we go through stuff so the devil can remind, or for God can remind the devil how powerful he is. Amen. Sometimes you go through stuff so you can remind the devil that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm about to go crazy with what I'm about to share with you. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Notice this. Nebuchadnezzar makes a statement so powerful. In fact, let's just go back up to verse 24. The king was astonished and rose up in haste. This is after these brothers were thrown into the fiery furnace. He asked a question, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And the king said, "But I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." That'll preach all right there by itself. Anybody ever walked through a fire and you have no hurt? Been through some high waters, but you didn't drown? And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And then Daniel 3 and 25 says, and he answered, "I see four men loose." Notice this. The very man that threw them in the fire, that had the fire turned up seven times hotter, the very man who made the decree that you, all people, all nations, all languages need to bow and worship the image, the very man that took these men and tried to indoctrinate them, made them captives, is seeing something that nobody else saw. He saw a fourth man. And nowhere, Sister Angelina, in our Bible do we see, nowhere, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw the fourth man and gave him a high five. Amen. And said, I knew it. Amen. I knew it. I knew you were going to be right there with me. Nowhere. Nowhere in our Bible do we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego having dialogue with the fourth man. Nowhere, nowhere in our Bible do we read or do we see it being reiterated, clarified, talked about again. Even when you don't see it. I'm about to amen myself in a minute. Even when you don't see it, he's working it out. When everything around you is on fire, bound up, accused, everybody's watching and say, you should have, you could have, if you would have only did this, if you would have only, if you would have just, say, nah. I'm not bowing to sin. I threw those clothes away a long time ago. I got rid of that bitterness a long time ago. I'm still a little bit ghetto, but I have the Holy Ghost. So now I take it to the Lord in prayer instead of out back. I still got a little swag in me, but it's a Holy Ghost swag. I still got a stomp, baby, but I stomp on the devil. I still got an addiction, but I'm addicted to church. Somebody give God a praise for faith in the fire. Nobody else saw it but Nebuchadnezzar. You may not always see what God is doing, but he's doing something. You may not always know what God is doing, but he's up to something. Somebody give God a praise in here for the things that God is doing that you don't know about. Somebody give God a praise. Hallelujah. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the glory of the Lord in this place. Hell sees what God is doing. You may not see it, but hell sees it. They see the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. There's some things that can't get a hold of you because of your faith in the fire. Whether you see him or not, he's right there with you. Things that are bound up get loosed. Your strength is tried in the fire as we stand. The devil can't close doors that the Lord has opened or prepared for you, but he'll try to distract you so you won't walk through the fires. Just the organ, that you won't walk through the fires. And we got to understand something. Many times it's the Lord preparing us for the doors he's about to open. Somebody shout fire. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody just lift your hands. Ta 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 ta. Hallelujah. 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 God has called certain people for certain times, for certain purposes. I'd like to believe that we are those certain people.
Yeah.
For uncertain times.
Yes.
For a certain
purpose. Amen.
That we should show forth the praises of him. Of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.